This is Mulberry Christian Radio with a religious news report. Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is pushing for a decisive military victory to secure the release of hostages held by Hamas in Gaza, according to a diplomatic source quoted in Hebrew media. The remarks come amid growing public pressure and internal government debate over whether to expand military operations in Gaza, even at the potential cost of endangering the remaining captives. And questions have been raised about footage of alleged mass starvation in Gaza after the New York Times admitted that in emaciated child displayed on its front page as evidence of famine was suffering from a grim medical condition unrelated to the conflict with Israel. An evangelical pastor who spent 2 years under house arrest in Iran for his Christian faith has urged U.S. President Trump to halt the deportation of Iranian Christians, warning they could face imprisonment or even execution for abandoning Islam. And Nabil Masl, a young Christian man detained in 2016 in Pakistan for blasphemy against Islam, has died after years of suffering, imprisonment, and medical neglect, a representative told Worthy News. Brutal assault on a Christian sanitation worker in Pakistan's Punjab province has highlighted discrimination and violence against impoverished minority laborers across the Islamic nation, investigators say. A Christian ceremony to bless farm crops in India's eastern Odisha state turned into a brutal assault, leaving at least 30 Christians injured, 10 of whom were hospitalized with critical wounds, Christian said. And Prime Minister Netanyahu has decided to push forward with the full military occupation of the Gaza Strip, including operations in zones where Israeli hostages are believed to be held, according to a senior source in the Prime Minister's office, who spoke to the Jerusalem Post. The dramatic shift in policy has set the stage for a potential confrontation with Israeli Defense Force leadership, as Chief of Staff Lieutenant General Eyal Zamar reportedly voiced objections and was told to resign if he disagrees. And Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu is pushing for a decisive military victory to secure the release of hostages held by Hamas in Gaza, according to a diplomatic source quoted in Hebrew media. The remarks come amid growing public pressure and internal government debate over where to expand military operations in Gaza, even at the potential cost of endangering the remaining captives. Israel's Foreign Minister Gideon Sa'ar delivered a forceful rebuke at the United Nations on Tuesday, accusing countries that recently moved to recognize a Palestinian state of sabotaging a ceasefire deal and giving Hamas free gifts that have prolonged the war in Gaza. And Turkish President Recep Erdogan urged British Prime Minister Keir Starmer to take concrete steps to compel Israel to accept a ceasefire in Gaza and move toward a two-state solution. According to a statement from a Turkish presidency, Erdogan pressured Starmer during a phone call to use Britain's influence to help end the ongoing conflict and advance Palestinian statehood. And Egyptian President Abdel al-Sisi leveled sharp accusations against Israel, claiming the war in Gaza has become a campaign of genocide and starvation rather than a legitimate military operation. In a fiery press conference held alongside Vietnamese president in Cairo, Sisi declared that the war's true objective was not merely to defeat Hamas, but to starve the population, commit genocide, and eliminate the Palestinian state. And 17 Christians killed in Nigeria's Plateau State. Predominantly Muslim Fulani herdsmen have reportedly killed a Christian woman in a village in Nigeria's Plateau State. The latest, the 17 Christians slain in the area since July 15, local sources said. In a historic visit to the biblical heartland of Israel, U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson declared his intentions to remove the term West Bank from U.S. federal government language and replace it with the biblical names Judea and Samaria, reinforcing America's growing alignment with Israel's ancestral claims to the disputed region. His bowler issued a scathing rebuke against the Lebanese government's decision to move forward with a plan to disarm all resistance groups, including the Iranian-backed Shiite terrorist organization, calling the move a grave sin and capitulation to American and Israeli pressure. And Prime Minister Netanyahu will convene his security cabinet on Thursday evening to finalize decisions on the next phase of Israel's military campaign in Gaza, with expectations mounting that the government will approve a full-scale occupation of the Strip, despite urgent warnings from top defense officials. In a city often dubbed one of the most unchurched in America, more than 35,000 people gathered this past weekend at the Motor Center for the first major evangelical crusade in Portland in over 25 years, and more than 3,200 made public decisions to follow Christ. Prime Minister Netanyahu has clarified Israel's long-term strategy for the Gaza Strip, stating in two separate interviews that while Israel will take temporary military control of all the territory, it has no intention of annexing it or permanently governing it. The Prime Minister also is set to present a sweeping new military and governance plan for the Gaza Strip to Israel's Security Cabinet on Thursday, according to government sources who spoke with the Jerusalem Post. The proposal is expected to greenlight a large-scale IDF operation to occupy additional portions of the coastal enclave over a five-month period. And newly released data from the Federal Bureau of Investigation reveals a continued rise in anti-Jewish hate crimes in 2024, reinforcing concern among Jewish advocacy groups and faith leaders about escalating hostility and the need for stronger government action. Militants allied with the Islamic State group ISIS are carrying out brutal attacks against Christians in Central and Southern Africa, including mass killings, often through beheadings, as well as the destruction of churches and homes, investigators say. Advocacy groups and international officials warn of a growing crisis that they suggest is ignored by much of the world. And American evangelist Franklin Graham has welcomed the decision by U.S. President Donald J. Trump to allow federal employees, including Christians, to openly express their faith while at work, in a move that changes decades of policy. Armenian and Azerbaijan have signed a peace deal at the White House that will end decades of armed conflict that killed tens of thousands and led to the expulsion of more than 100,000, mainly Christian Armenians, from the disputed territory of Nagorno-Karabakh. The leader of both nations want to nominate U.S. President Donald J. Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize as he broke the historic agreement. And Indonesia's Catholic bishops have expressed concern about mounting anti-Christian violence in the world's largest Muslim nation. They urge the central government in Jakarta to act decisively against all forms of intolerance, particularly when accompanied by violence, which, they stress, constitutes a criminal defense. And Armenia and Azerbaijan signed a historic peace agreement at the White House, formally ending nearly four decades of territorial conflict and opening a new chapter in the South Caucasus geopolitics. The accord brokered by U.S. President Trump cements Washington's strategic foothold in a volatile region bordering Iran and deep within the former Soviet sphere. Tens of thousands of Israelis took to the streets to protest the government's decision to seize Gaza City, warning that the move could doom remaining hostages and drag the nation into a prolonged and deadly conflict. In a forceful address, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu laid out his government's battle plan for Gaza, declaring that Israel's mission is not to seize the territory, but to free it from the grip of Hamas, framing the campaign as a fight for liberation rather than conquest. Netanyahu vowed to dismantle the terrorist group's rule and secure a future in which Gazans can live free from fear, opposition, and violence of jihad. And Israel's Security Cabinet has approved Prime Minister Netanyahu's proposal to take control of Gaza City, marking a significant escalation in the nearly two-year war with Hamas. The decision announced comes despite warnings from top military officials that the move could endanger hostages still held in the enclave and deepen the humanitarian crisis. Germany halted military exports to Israel that could be used in Gaza, amid one of the worst tensions between the German and Israeli governments since the establishment of the Jewish nation following World War II. And church leaders in Haiti expressed concern about the kidnapping of nine people, including an Irish missionary and a child with disabilities, as violence spreads throughout the Caribbean nation. Evangelical missions are surging through Brazil's Amazon, bringing medical aid, education, and the gospel to remote villages, reshaping the region's spiritual identity and accelerating the nation's shift away from Catholicism. Project Amazon's missionary boat alone treats 100,000 patients a year, fueling rapid church growth among indigenous communities. U.S. Ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee denounced CBS News for selectively editing an interview with him on its way to savagely attacking Israel. And some are calling it the East Coast version of the movie Jesus Revolution. Jesus Freaks, the movie, explores the East Coast Jesus Revolution of the 1970s. Ancient Christian Church reveals mysterious 1,600-year-old warning to non-believers, only the righteous. Archaeologists in Turkey recently excavated the ruins of a millennia-old city, revealing a 5th-century Christian church with a message that hasn't been seen in over 1,000 years. And hundreds of Christians from various denominations in Tennessee gathered together to pray and seek God, believing for a move by His Spirit that will ultimately transform families, cities, the volunteer state, and the nation. President Donald Trump stopped short of directly endorsing Israel's plan to attack and occupy Gaza City, but suggested that Hamas will not release Israeli hostages unless the situation in Gaza changes dramatically. And Prime Minister Anthony Albanese announced that Australia will formally recognize a Palestinian state during the United Nations General Assembly in New York this September, aligning with recent moves by the United Kingdom, France, and Canada. And the Passion of Christ sequel to hit theaters in 2027 in two-part release. The Resurrection of the Christ, Mel Gibson's long-awaited sequel to the successful 2004 motion picture The Passion of the Christ, is officially set to debut in spring of 2027 in two installments. The Resurrection of the Christ Part 1 will hit theaters on Good Friday in late March 2027. Part 2 will be released just over 40 days later in early May on Ascension Day. The sequels will be released over 20 years after The Passion of the Christ's record success, which raked in $610 million globally, according to IMDb. And the Associated Press reported that Israel deliberately targeted and killed a journalist in Gaza. But as usual, there is more to the story. In a bold and highly personal video address released, Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called on the proud people of Iran to stand up to their government, take to the streets, and fight for freedom, promising that Israel would help solve the country's severe water shortages once the current regime fails. And Israel confirmed Monday it killed a controversial reporter of the Qatar-based broadcaster Al Jazeera in a targeted airstrike in Gaza, describing him as a Hamas terror cell leader. And in the United States, the Supreme Court asked to reverse same-sex marriage decision in Kim Davis' case. 7 years after the Supreme Court legitimized same-sex marriages nationwide, the justices will soon decide whether to revisit and potentially overturn that historic ruling. and a federal district judge has temporarily blocked enforcement of Arkansas's new law requiring the Ten Commandments to be displayed in public schools' classrooms, calling it plainly unconstitutional and part of a broader effort to inject Christian doctrines into education. The Family Research Council's latest annual analysis reveals that while the number of hostile incidents targeting U.S. churches dipped in 2024, down from a record high in 2023, it remained alarmingly elevated compared to pre-2022 levels. And Christian Charity Mission Eurasia says it will help 30,000 often traumatized children in 14 nations this summer, most of them in Ukraine, as their lives have been upended by Russia's full-scale invasion. And a Christian laborer forced to work in Pakistan's harsh brick kiln industry is recovering after falling victim to an organ trafficking scheme that ignited outrage across the nation, according to an investigation shared with Wordy News. And Israel is engaged in discussions with five countries, Indonesia, Somaliland, Uganda, South Sudan, and Libya, over the potential voluntary resettlement of Palestinians from the Gaza Strip, according to a report by Israel's Channel 12. And the Israeli Defense Forces confirmed that Chief of Staff Lieutenant General Eyal Zamar has formally approved the central framework for a major military operation aimed at capturing Gaza City, marking a significant escalation in the nearly two-year-long conflict with Hamas. And Israel will not allow its land to be used for the creation of a Palestinian state, Foreign Minister Gideon Sa'ar declared, urging nations promoting a two-state solution to consider establishing a Palestinian homeland within their own border. And a new report by the International Society for Christian Liberties and the Rule of Law into Society warns that Nigeria has become the headquarters for 22 Islamic terrorist groups operating across Africa. According to the organization, these groups are working in concert to eradicate Christianity and indigenous cultural traditions within the country, with the long-term goal of imposing sultanate, a form of Islamic rule led by a sultan, in which political authority and religious leadership are fused under Islamic law. And U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio announced that the Trump administration is advancing efforts to officially designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization, a move long championed by Republican lawmakers and many Middle East allies. And the Israeli Defense Forces is preparing for one of its largest reserve mobilizations in decades as military leaders finalize plans for a massive ground offensive to capture Gaza City. Several Arab nations and the Arab League issued a sharp condemnation after Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu appeared to endorse the vision of a greater Israel during the televised interviews. and a federal judge appointed by President Obama has struck a blow to religious liberty, overturning protection that allowed faith-based employers to decline covering abortion and contraceptives in their health insurance. And Pakistani police detain 80 Christian villages for terrorism. Worthy News investigation. Pakistani Christians urged prayer Thursday after police reportedly detained some 80 Christian villages, including children, in Pakistan's Punjab province on disputed terrorism charges. And a U.S.-based Christian mission says its work to rescue thousands of orphaned teenagers across the former Soviet Union from a race against evil, a fight to keep them from being sucked into prostitution, slavery, and organized crime. Christian worshippers ran for their lives as a magnitude 5.8 earthquake struck during Indonesia's 80th Independence Day celebration, injuring dozens in central Sulawesi, Worthy News reports. And Nicaragua's authoritarian socialist government has expropriated the Catholic San Jose school in the city of Genetipe amid a broader crackdown on Christians expressing their faith in the Central American nation, church sources said. And hundreds of thousands of Israelis poured into the streets in the largest demonstration since the Gaza war began nearly 2 years ago, demanding that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu secure the release of hostages and end the fighting. An interfaith coalition of more than 200 faith-based and secular NGOs from over 15 countries is calling on the United Nations and world leaders to abandon Gaza aid distribution through the UN Relief and Works Agency and instead partner with the U.S.-funded Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, GHF. And the Israeli Defense Forces announced it has destroyed dozens of terror targets during a sweeping offensive in the Zayit neighborhood on the outskirts of Gaza City, part of a broader plan to capture the city in its entirety. The operation comes after Israel's Security Cabinet approved the takeover of Gaza's largest urban center, currently home to an estimated 1 million Palestinians, amid the 22-month-long war with Hamas. And a study finds 84% of mail-order abortion pills going to states with bans. Pro-life advocates urge Trump administration to act. A new study has found that the vast majority of mail-order abortion pills shipped by a leading telemedicine provider have gone to women living in states where most abortions are banned, fueling calls for pro-life leaders for the Trump administration to intervene. And Bible revival among Generation Z sparks talk of prophetic times. A surprising movement is taking shape across the globe. The Bible is capturing the attention of a new generation. And U.S.-based Christian charity Samaritan's Purse, led by evangelist Franklin Graham, has begun airlifting critical aid to Gaza amid mounting concerns about severe shortages of food and other essential supplies in the Hamas-ruled territory. And a Chinese technology company has announced bold plans to release what it calls the world's first gestation robot, a humanoid machine designed to carry a baby in an artificial womb embedded within its abdomen. And Bolivia's decades-long experiment with socialism was decisively rejected at the ballot box as voters punished the ruling movement towards socialism, the MAS, for economic collapse and moral scandal. The result signals a historic shift away from leftist politics and toward a more open future for both free markets and faith. And U.S. President Donald Trump said that the only path to securing the release of hostages held in Gaza is through the complete defeat of Hamas, even as Arab mediators reported progress on a ceasefire and prisoner exchange. And Cyprus's president has sounded the alarm that an Iranian nuclear weapon would not only endanger Israel, but also place his small Mediterranean nation directly in the line of fire. And a startling new claim from the Egyptian desert suggests the earliest known reference to Moses may have been discovered in inscriptions dating back nearly 3,800 years. And the new YouGov poll has revealed a remarkable increase in belief in God among Britain's youngest generation, fueling claims of a spiritual quiet revival across the nation. And 2,100 baptized in a single day at Pirates Cove in third annual Jesus Revolution baptism. Signs of a spiritual awakening are still popping up across the U.S. on a weekly basis this summer, and the latest example was a mass baptism at Pirates Cove in Newport Beach, California, where thousands of believers publicly declared their faith in Jesus Christ. And worldwide Christians are facing increasing persecution because of their faith in Christ. However, they are not alone. An ethnic cleansing of religious minorities is occurring throughout the Middle East. Jews, Christians, and Yazidis and others are threatened with extinction. Israel is preparing to issue tens of thousands of emergency call-up orders to reservists beginning Wednesday as the Israeli Defense Forces finalize operational plans for a large-scale ground assault on Gaza City, defense officials confirmed. A groundbreaking medical experiment in Israel may soon give paralyzed patients the ability to walk again. Researchers at Tel Aviv University, working through biotech company Medtronic, are preparing to perform the world's first human transplant of a lab-grown spinal cord segment, following years of pioneering laboratory and animal studies. And a federal appeals court on Monday overturned a ban on student-run drag shows at West Texas A&M University, ruling that the school's presence violated students' constitutional right to free expression. The federal appeals court struck down the drag show ban. Europe's church leaders have warned of a world in crisis as wildfires, floods, melting glaciers, and deadly heat waves devastate communities across Europe and Asia. Their concern comes ahead of the 2025 Season of Creation, the annual period of prayer for the environment, running from September 1st to October 4th. A cell of at least 18 Hamas operatives attempted to raid an Israeli Defense Forces encampment in an area of southern Gaza morning in what the military described as a rare and unusual incident. And rights activists say local authorities in Indonesia's West Java province have shut down a Christian prayer house and evicted its evangelist leader, underscoring broader concerns about religious freedom in the world's largest Muslim-majority nation. And Christian advocacy groups are intensifying calls for Vitoria to release 7 church leaders who have been held without trial for more than 2 decades. A Maryland pastor is back home with his family after being detained by Immigration and Customs Enforcement and transported to a Louisiana facility where he was held for nearly a month. Despite the hardships he endured in jail, he reports that God used the time to allow him to reach many souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And months after the U.S. Department of Education rescinded its historic fine against Grand Canyon University, a Christian college in Phoenix, Arizona, the school has scored another major victory. A separate lawsuit from the Federal Trade Commission was also dropped. And the Israeli Defense Forces confirmed that it has begun the initial stages of its long-anticipated invasion of Gaza City, with troops already controlling the outskirts of the enclave's largest urban center. And Prime Minister Netanyahu sharply escalated its criticism of Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese in an interview broadcast Thursday, denouncing Canberra's decision to recognize the Palestinian state as a sign of weakness and warned that Israel will push forward with its military takeover of Gaza, even if Hamas agrees to a ceasefire and hostage release deal. And a federal judge blocks Texas law requiring 10 commandments in public schools. A federal judge has temporarily blocked the Texas law that would have mandated the display of the 10 Commandments in every public school classroom across the state, ruling that the measure likely violates constitutional protection of religious freedom. A Muslim who said he abandoned Islam and put his faith in Christ after experiencing a vision in a mosque in eastern Uganda has been hospitalized after relatives beat him, demolished his home, and abducted his wife and 6 children, Christians said Wednesday. And Christian activists are demanding justice after a farm worker was shot dead in Pakistan's Punjab province, allegedly by men linked to a Muslim landowner, in a killing that underscores ongoing attacks against religious minorities. More than 1,200 people made decisions for Jesus at Amphoe Feast 2025 in Arkansas this month. The 2-day event drew 45,000 people from 37 states. A little known and affordable alternative to in vitro fertilization is offering hope to some couples struggling with infertility. Leave It at the Cross, a former lesbian professor, shared her testimony of how a growing knowledge of the Lord changed both her heart and her lifestyle. After nearly 2 years of war in Gaza and attacks on Iran, an anti-Israeli contingent of journalists and influencers on the right have been vocal in opposing the Jewish state. Meanwhile, President Trump has maintained his support for Israel. There's a meaner split in the MAGA movement, David Brody reports. And on this week's Healthy Living, you will hear from a 94-year-old Dr. Kenneth Cooper, the father of Errol Bicks, about the difficulties convincing the medical establishment of what became a foundation of good health. He also discusses his latest book, Grow Healthier as You Grow Older, and his deep, abiding faith in Jesus, including how God was with him through the highs and the lows of his life. Christian singer-songwriter David Crowder announced that he had to have emergency surgery after breaking his leg, forcing him to cancel future shows. "I'm not near as athletic as I thought I was. I broke my leg and had to have emergency surgery, including some plates and screws," he wrote in an Instagram post with a picture of him recovering in a hospital bed. "I'm on the mend, and we will figure out how to get back there as soon as we can. Thanks so much for the prayers." The Glorious Day recording artist shared a video with the Appalachian Fair in Gray, Tennessee, where he was scheduled to perform. Crowder, 53, said he's recuperating well, joking from his recovery room that surgeons perform basic carpentry for bones to repair what was damaged. "We're gonna be back at Appalachian Fair because y'all my people and I gotta see you soon." In Kazakhstan, in the remote corners, a spiritual revolution is quietly unfolding. Surrounded by ancient traditions and deep-rooted Islamic faith, a small but growing group of Yurgans are discovering a new spiritual path, one that is changing their world forever. The Kazakhstan landscape stretches wide and wild, from sweeping grasslands to alpine valleys and towering snow-capped mountain ranges. Sitting in the heart of Central Asia, it's the world's largest landlocked country. Recently, CBN News took a four-hour drive east to the southern corner of the country, just a stone's throw from China, where generations have lived. Some here still practice ancient traditions like herding horses and sheep across the wide chasm-steep grasslands. In recent years, the Uyghurs in China have faced severe persecution, including mass detentions, surveillance, and cultural repression by the Chinese government. The people have been Muslim for almost a millennium, so it's a mindset that's been ingrained into their mentality and lifestyle. In recent years, though, things have been changing. More and more are discovering Christianity, some through personal transformation, others through the influence of outreach in these villages. There are roughly 300,000 of them who today live in this country. Roughly 300 of them belong to the small evangelical community. And this concludes our weekly religious news report brought to you by Mulberry Christian Radio. Until next time, have a blessed week.